110.7.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Well, this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater.
His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide.
There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear.
So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Such different people from different lands. We're all descendants of the first man. We can be one nation facing one God, with no hatred, no envy, no war.
Created equal are you and I. Which of his favors can we ever deny? We may have everything or nothing at all, but our purpose lies with this call. To worship him, to praise him all day. Onto the straight path, let's not go astray. He is the greatest and most merciful, and everything acts upon his will.
So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now.
What a wonderful world it will be if we all open our eyes to see the words of Zain Bika and Dawood Wansbi Ali to usher in this beautiful show, this beautiful Saturday morning. You are welcome to Everyday Muslim, live on 91.7. My name is Amina Adams. I'm the one in the driver's seat right now. Everyday Muslim comes your way every Saturday morning, 11 to 12, to address the misconceptions on Islam. We do our utmost to foster peaceful coexistence and, of course, guide the everyday Muslim on this journey in Islam, so we all can end hand in hand in that Jannah that Allah has promised us together. So we have to stick together. Right, so stick with me. Today we're going to explore adoption and fostering. I do have a guest. She's a regular on the show, alhamdulillah. She's been with us in the past on different topics. Mrs. Sakina Adefumilola Said is a remarkable individual with a diverse range of roles and talents. She is not only a mother but also a devout Muslima who continually strives to please Allah. In addition to her personal commitments, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She's also a marriage counselor who assists couples in their marital journeys. Furthermore, Mrs. Sakina Adefumilola is an entrepreneur, demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation. Her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding a unique skill to her repertoire. She's a proud graduate of Lagos State University Education, LASUED, formerly known as AOC or ED. I don't know if you guys call it AQUED or...
I didn't know.
Right. So, you know, excuse me for not knowing that. UNILAC is the only school I know. Wow. One of her favorite statements is, "What is my body weight to enter Jahannam, the fire of hell?" This statement reflects her deep commitment to her faith and serves as a reminder of the importance of one's spiritual journey. Hajja Sakina, assalamu alaikum to wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, it's good to have you here. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Right, let's get straight into it. So we're looking at adoption and fostering, and this has to obviously clearly do with orphans. So from an Islamic perspective, how does fostering differ from adoption, and why is it important for Muslims to maintain the child's lineage in this process?
Alhamdulillah. Islam is a way of life, a complete way of life. There is nothing that Islam has not taught us how to do. Even as simple as going to the restroom.
True.
As easy as simple as eating your meals, how you should eat, what are the things you should do. So Islam has guided us on every aspect of our life. It has not left anything unaddressed.
Right.
So adoption and fostering are two different things.
Okay.
In Islam, we don't adopt. Because according to the Western, adoption is transferring a child from a blood relation to another family, whereby some things are not, the child might no longer have anything to do with that, the actual family.
So complete cutting off of ties.
Yes,
with the
complete cutting off. I once watched a video in America where you can choose families. It's either you get it right or you get it wrong. But if you choose a family, whatever happens to you in that family, that's the end of it. You change your... Yes. So you have to just take it like that. But in Islam, what we do is fostering. You don't change your lineage. It is called kafala. It means you getting emotional, spiritual relationship from another family without changing your lineage. You understand? You can be with another family whereby you still maintain your own lineage. So it is providing physical, emotional, and financial needs for a child without changing their lineage.
Okay.
In the Western world, you have to do some things. But in Islam, you don't change their family name. You don't change their father's name. You let them bear their father's name. You educate them the reason why they should bear their family name. Because in Islam, if a child is being fostered, if it has to do with breastfeeding, the child cannot marry into that family again.
Right.
Because it is assumed that that child has become a part and parcel of that family. But it doesn't mean he or she has to change her name.
Right.
You understand? So there are some limits, you know, in Islam, extended family can come together to marry each other. I once trained some Malians some years back. And I noticed that they marry within themselves. So Islam does not cut us off from marrying from our own lineage. It has to be maybe the third generation. So if such things should happen, Islam still gave us the limits and it's guiding us on ways to go about it. So that's the difference between adoption
and
fostering.
Right. So the Quran repeatedly emphasized the importance of caring for orphans and those in need in various verses of the Quran. Now, how can fostering or adopting serve as a means? So I'm going to, for the sake of this, since we've clarified that as Muslims, what we do is foster. So I'm going to stick with the term fostering. But for anybody listening out there who's not necessarily a Muslim who understands adoption, so we can use interchangeably. But as Muslims, disabuse your mind. What we do in Islam is to foster, not adopt. Right.
Mm.
So how can fostering serve as a means of fulfilling this obligation while adhering to the Islamic principles?
Now, according to Quran 33, verse 4 to 5, Allah has given us guidance why we should not abandon orphans or abandon children. And there are different rules guiding them. Islam wants us to provide care and protection so that we don't just leave them to litter on the streets. We provide shelters, we protect them. Especially, even it is not limited to female children alone. We can't just leave people roaming the streets. because they are not proper protection and provision for them. Then there should be maintainers in lineage and identity. Islam wants us to still identify the identity. There is this notion of don't go to bed without 40 houses in your front, 40 houses by your right, 40 houses by your left, at your back, without them getting fed. Don't go to bed being fed and properly you feel that you are okay without those, because they are your neighbors. You understand? So Islam still encourages that if you can provide for children, let them stay with their family. Mm. If not, because in some cases, it is not as if those people that are doing this fostering are actually very rich. Mm. They might just want to manage the little they have and with their children and extend that to abandoned or orphaned children. So in such cases, it can become compulsory for them to take over the fostering of the child. So in such cases, we still make sure that they still have a bond and relationship with their family. In such cases, we can allow them go for
visitations,
holidays. Another thing is to have guardianship, not legal adoption. Like I said, you can adopt a child and you can foster a child, and just through guardianship, you want that child. At times, children don't listen to their parents because they feel that, who are you? Even if you are the president of Nigeria, to your children, you are just a normal man. You understand? They don't see anything special in you. I have a case of we counselor trying to change our children. Okay, please, can I give you my child to counsel? Because when you say those things, they just look at you like, what is she saying? You are the regular mom or you are the regular dad. You understand? So at times, you foster a child through guidanceship. You want that child to be guided. And they listen to, sometimes children listen to outsiders. Somebody they feel that, is the Almighty. Even if their parents are better off, they just feel that this person is the Almighty. No, I listen. You know, you can be a kind of role model to them. Another thing is financial responsibility. In Islam, there is a boundary inheritance. Because Islam, we don't just say, okay, I give all my property to somebody. No, you don't do that. Islam has divided it. So you, even if you don't write a wasiya, that's a will. It is divided to your parents, 1/6, 1/8, to a female child, 1/8. You understand? It is divided. To a male child, you know, you have to take 1%. To a female child, you have to take half of the percentage. A parent, a deceased that has a parent, has
a share in the property.
The spouses has a share in the property. So in terms of fostering or adoption, in Islam, what you do is you can write a wasiya. If you don't write a wasiya, that child is not entitled to inheritance.
Meaning that you'd bequeath something to the child. Yes, child something. Because
it should come as a gift.
Otherwise, she's not written. A blood relation and yes. So cannot inherit you ordinarily. Yes.
Another thing is the spiritual and emotional nurturing. I have seen these cases why fostering is even important. In some cases whereby you see families fighting, you know, there is violence, there is domestic violence, there is different things, and you feel that if this child should grow up in this type of environment, what kind of an adult will this child become? So in that situation, you can call for a fostering. Okay, can I let this child live with me while... You are still the parent, but I want this child to live with me. In cases like this, it is just to help ourselves build a strong society so that we don't just leave anybody. I have a little story. I remembered one of my sisters in Islam. She's quite older. She's an aunt to us in MSS. There was a time that she has a school, a small school, and it goes to a stage. It seems the parents were separated, and she was just walking on the street. She just noticed that the child was no longer coming to the school. So she was walking on the street and saw the child. Why are you here? I said, my mom and my dad are separated. Okay, they are separated. And she picked up the child and gets in touch with the father. This girl is going to stay with me. I can't allow her roam the streets like this. And she fostered that child, but not for too long. You won't believe that years after, the male child of that family traveled abroad, and they both met, and they agreed to marry. And they came to Nigeria, and the woman was like, she didn't even recognize the girl.
Mm.
But the girl was like, you were the one that fostered me some years back when my parents were separated. Mm. If she hasn't nurtured that child, that means she has abandoned her daughter our future daughter-in-law. So it means that you don't just neglect. If we have this bond, you don't just say, I'm fulfilled. I don't want to know if other people are fulfilled. Then this fostering of a thing does not limit to whether a child is abandoned or a child is an orphan. It has to do with we collaborating as Muslims, as a society, as a community, to bring up a child and make sure that they are physically, emotionally, financially balanced. Sometimes you see your neighbors, they have not paid their school fees. You see some children coming home every day, they are being sent home many days, and you have enough. You don't want to care. Don't forget that these same children are those children your children will see as friends and neighbors. Indeed. They will play with them. They will do a lot of things, and they will corrupt the teachings at which you feel that you have inculcated in your children. So Islam has wanted us to come together as a community to build up these children and foster them together.
It's amazing how you've broken it down and, you know, elucidated the fact that it's a financial commitment. So even if you're not financially committed, you can actually be committed through guardianship, just knowing that this child needs some moral upbringing that the family, immediate family, may not be able to, just because they are so busy and so they've transferred the rights and authority to parent that child to the TV and the maids and all of that. So yes, you can see this and you can actually offer that help. Hopefully the parents will see reason and allow you to foster the child for them. Many Muslims struggle with the concept of adoption. They fear, you know, that it conflicts with Sharia law. And I'm glad that you've clarified that from the get-go, that adoption is the one that is not permitted in Islam. What we do in Islam is fostering. So hopefully that clears it for you. Now, how can we as a community encourage more families to step forward now that we understand what fostering is? So it's the same concept of adoption that you think of. All you're not doing is changing the child's name. Mm. So do everything that you'll do under adoption. Take care of child, treat the child as you would your own, and all of that. So, you know, how can we as a community encourage more families to step forward and provide homes for children in need without compromising their teachings?
Naam, alhamdulillah. One thing that amazed me in life that I have not come to a conclusion on steps and solution towards is we feel that we hardly learn things. The only thing we learn is probably we go to school, we have formal and informal education. This informal education is not limited to how to read or write or the home chores and some other things. We need to learn a lot of things. People go into parenting without even know what parenting entails. People go into marriage these days without learning what marriage is. You just feel that, okay,
pressure,
I am matured.
Everyone's getting married. Yes. All my classmates are married.
Yeah. Another thing is, what if you ask some people or some parents, what are the factors you feel that this child has gotten for he or she to be married? At times, they don't have something to give. Is it just that, okay, I was telling some couples some weeks back, I said, marriage is not about conceiving or this sexual fulfillment, you giving birth to children, and you understand, you need to have adequate knowledge what it entails, what you need to do and what not you don't need to do. So the basic thing I'm trying to talk about is education on Islamic teachings about orphan. I was listening to Sheikh Imran, may Allah be pleased with him and bless him, at a program at Lekki some years back, when he was educating us about orphans. Wallahi, I was shedding tears. I never knew it was so. In fact, he was telling us that day that if an orphan stands, maybe they are playing football and he stands and say, oh, how I wish I have a father. It is a query on the community. People that are around that child, it goes beyond the level of just, don't worry. You know, there used to be promises when it says, I will do this for you, I will do this, without being fulfilling it. Sometimes these children does not even only need financial support. They need somebody to shoulder them.
Psychological.
They need somebody to hug them. They need somebody to tell them that don't worry, it's going to be fine. Don't worry, it is going to be okay. And the lack of sincerity, even at times, among children, your own biological children, to be just and sincere among them is, hey, Allah Akbar, may Allah not question us about it. I realize that it is one thing for you to give birth to children, it is one thing for you to nurture children, it is another thing for you to be just at a time among your children, not to talk of having a first child. So this level of sincerity and the affirmation of your good intention has to be renewed and renewed at every point in time. I am doing this only to seek the pleasure of Allah.
So you're not mistakenly fostering a 13-year-old child and stylishly converting that child to a maid over your own children.
Exactly.
Claiming that your children are not yet of age, and so this is the one that is of age, and then stylishly serving the whole family as a maid. Under the guise of fostering, subhanAllah.
Now, I learned something from my mother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to strengthen her. Haji Aris, because she has tried. I learned that while we were growing up, we have maids in our house. But do you know what she used to do? She used to send us on errands and leave the maids. There was a time I remember somebody was telling me, really, I was saying that, are you the maid or... You understand? Or it is this auntie that is the maid. My mom will have... We actually leave the maid and say, if the maid go tomorrow, what will become of my children? Is it that my children will now, they don't know how to do anything? So I don't see the need for us having maid, because but I saw it that she was indirectly fostering those children.
You know, I think those mothers of those days all drew from the same world. They all read from the same books and practiced the same thing, because exactly what you said, we also grew up with maids, subhanAllah. However, my mother made it very clear. This maid, the day you start to pay the salaries is the day you send her on any errand.
Hello,
so, no, very clear. No, there's no. I did not bring her to serve you, right?
Imagine.
So, once you're ready to pay her salary, send her an message. So you're washing your clothes, if not washing her own clothes as well. Because when it's time to share,
these mothers are.
So I think they all drew from the same.
You know, they'll buy the same set of clothes for us during
it.
How like her? You know, it's got to a stage we're not like, we don't want people to come and live with us again. My mom will say, I am doing this because of you. And I realized she was actually doing it for us. There is nowhere we have stepped to in life that Allah has not shown on mercy.
No.
You know, but then we didn't understand. Why did she even need the maid? Because we do all the work. If our pumping machine should get spoiled, she'll send it to go and fetch water.
You carry your own bucket.
You carry your own.
It's very straightforward.
You even call them by auntie. These days,
of course,
you call them Auntie Morenike, Auntie
Moina, very clearly.
You know, I will not be like some of them. I remember that one of our maids was actually like my age mate, and my mommy, because she was a few weeks or a month older than me, my mommy insists that I call her Auntie.
Straight up. You know, so they stylishly taught us a lot of things in there. So I think this fostering thing, the conversation should be broader, and I think we should disabuse our minds from thinking of the financial burden of bringing somebody into the family. We should look at it more inclusively. I think
exactly.
With that mindset, it starts to help, especially for the way our parents parented us with maids, and we're all seen as one family. I think that's what needs to spread out more, so that these people that are handicapped just because they don't have guidance then start to get the guardianship from you. I like this. I like the way this conversation is going. You know, incidentally, one of the most debated aspects of Islamic fostering is the name the child should. But I'm glad we've clarified this.
No.
However, just to further hone on it, why is it essential to preserve the biological family name? And how can, you know, foster families honor this while creating that sense of belonging for the child? Because sometimes... It's easier said than done, but then when the reality hits, when they're out there and they ask someone just randomly ask for names, and you've been saying, oh, this is my sister, but then she bears this, oh, why she's bearing this different name, and it's such a struggle to explain, you know, all of that. I think, but however, if we are better enlightened on what fostering is, I think it will be a lot easier to then assimilate. So yeah, let me hear you.
Ma'am, one thing we should know, we need to always watch this our lips. Why do we know to ask questions?
Mind your business.
SubhanAllah.
Isn't that one of
we
the best
advice? We have put a lot of people into problem. We have dismantled a lot of families.
Relationship.
A relationship. Just because we ask so much question. What do you need that information for? This is what we call this the triple text. The triple something test. I've forgotten. When you have an information, what do you do with it? Why do you need to know? Is this a means of education for you? What are your intentions? You don't just ask questions. Don't put people into problem. Don't don't scatter what they genuinely build for themselves. Why do you need to put people into problem? Because why is this one like this? Why is this like this? What had that information got to do with you?
How is it going to change your life?
You understand? We need adequate knowledge. Look at all those things. Let me tell you why I love the fact that, you know, when you are preparing a lecture, at times you just feel, or you've seen a topic, you just be like, why has Islam got to this extent? Why didn't he encourage us to change family names? I'll bring us back to history. Do you know the history of Prophet Yusuf,
alayhi salatu wasalam,
and how he went to Egypt? He was sold into slavery to Egypt. And for many decades, I had to make research. How many years was between Prophet Yusuf and Prophet Musa? About 400 years. And history brought back that history after they have become families, after they become relatives, after they were living in peace. Somebody that has not make that generation, that country to perish. Because during the time of the food scarcity, a lot of things would have happened to them if not for Prophet Yusuf. And somebody, how come the history traveled over 400 years that Fir'aun now stood up and said, you people are slaves. And we have to use them as slaves. Who gave Fir'aun that history? Because he was not alive when Prophet Yusuf was existing. Do you understand? It says that history will always come. I handled a case some months ago, and it was, you know, we don't know how the lady got the information. She got the information that her father abandoned and sent her mother out of the house when she was a baby. And the mother had to go and sleep in a load, like somewhere that is like a store that they keep all this food stuff, like this yam flour. So the mother slept there, and the lady was like, she will not forgive this man. Somebody has said something, because the mother was so speechless. Who told you this? The mother couldn't even deny, but the mother has tried to
protect her from that information.
I don't know. And she was over 40. She got that information, and she's very wealthy. She was like, no, I am not going to take care of this man. He abandoned me. So I was telling somebody, I said, it's got beyond you being fathering a child. Today, people, if not for Islam or the fear of God, people are ready to go extra mile to punish whoever has punished them while they were young. You understand? So history will always come back to know who is the father, who is the this, who is the that. And most times we have issues of war. This is our boundary. It is our father that has this land. It is our father that has this land. Things will later, it is your father that gave us, no. And you know, there will be arguments, there will be bloodshed, there will be lots of problems just because somebody has not decided to keep his or her mouth. You understand? That is why Islam wants us to sit down. Let there be a clear communication. Let there be an open communication within your children and your foster child. Islam has said, don't...
No hidden agenda. No hidden agenda.
Make it clear. Let them see reasons. Let them share their past with them and their present. Tell them how they are welcoming to the family. Be just among the children. Let your children know you have this opportunity. Don't misuse it. Today, Allah has put you in this position. He might change it for you the next minute. I know of a child that, of recent, that the father passed away, and she has to go and be living with some people that her own father has fostered.
Allahu Akbar.
You understand? So this, and she is just a child of 7 years old. And I was talking to him. I said, you didn't appreciate what you have then. But now Allah has brought you to this stage. How do you see it? You know, he's a child of 7 years. And when I was communicating with him, somebody was like, why are you telling me? I said, he understands.
Of course.
Now, he will now tell me a lot of things. He'll say, Sister Sakina, I've been praying to Allah to forgive me. A child of 7 years old. I've told Allah, I will always appreciate whatever he gives to me. You understand? So, let there be an open communication. Let them know. Because there's this adage of Yoruba. I remember a book that we read in our primary school. They'll say, if we should count the slaves we get beaten, or they will get... They will be in a sad state. Because, you know, at times we always keep some secrets that are not worthy. Islam doesn't want us to keep any secrets. Don't say, no, let them know the limits. you wear your hijab when a foster child, a male foster child is at home. Let them know you can marry. You understand? If they know they can marry each other because they are not relative, they will watch what they do. Everybody will be guided. Mm. And don't foster a child as a man and say, because I'm the man of the house, I want to foster a child. No, carry everybody along. Mm. Let it be that you and your wife are on the same page, because sometimes a man will foster a child and the child will be in trouble because the woman has not accepted her. Or at times, the children has not accepted. Sometimes we even have some foster children trying to be the child of the house. As if, and they want to jeopardize or destroy a lot of things. They will be ungrateful. So you can never tell. Islam has guided us. Make sure there is an open communication. Let everybody be educated. Go for psychological, you know, go for a therapist. Let people listen. Go for counseling. And don't limit people that are foster child to eat alone. As a community, assist. Even if it is Gary that you have to take to the family, okay, I learned that you are fostering a child, oh, this is Gary, share in the reward. You understand? If it is rice, if it is, okay, I will be counseling this child. Okay, I need this child to come and spend some time with me too. Don't leave it to one person.
I'm a school owner. I can accommodate the child's education while you're fostering. Let's share the burden. Let's distribute as them.
So the local mosque too should be aware. Let them raise things. Don't limit it, because at times, when there's frustration, maybe the income of the person is not going as usual, he will be frustrated. Shaitan will bring it to his mind. Assuming it is just two of your children, you would have been able to cater for them. This one that they have now, I added this one. Shaitan will come. So in order not to allow that shaitan, because at times, you see teachers, even when they don't collect their salary, at times they misbehave to the students and puppies and behave. Hey, why are you sitting there? Normal thing that he or she will become about. So people, when they are frustrated, when there is a lot of frustration, they tend to misbehave. But if we hold each other's hand, we'll be guided and we'll be able to caution ourselves when we are trespassing.
Right. So, you know, incidentally, because we are Muslims and we're not part-time Muslims, we are Muslims end-to-end, 24 hours we're on duty. Yeah. We are the stewards of Islam, we're the vicegerents, as Allah has described us in the Quran. So we're entrusted with protecting and guiding the next generation. How can Muslim parents who foster ensure that their children grew up with a strong Islamic identity even when dealing with societal stigma?
Yes, alhamdulillah. One thing we should learn to know that challenges is part of life.
True.
We can't erase it. We can't have everything in life. That is why I said there should be clear, open communication. You don't stigmatize yourself as, I have a problem. Even people that have parents have problems.
Very
true. The Prophet says, if your parents are alive, it's a problem. If they are dead, it's a problem. Because when they are alive, how do you not transgress
beyond and enter Jahannam through them?
But when they are gone, how do you make sure that you get Jahannam through them again? So everything you have in life, children, spouses, families, neighbors, are all challenges. And as human, you should know that risk is part of life. You can't just say, I want to come to life and have everything. Oh, no, you can't have it. It is certain you have day of sadness, days of joy, days of fulfillment, days of unfulfillment. There are days you'll be hungry, even if you have the whole millions in this world. You will look for where to buy the thing and you will not get it. Allah Akbar. I remember when my sister was in Benin, she was on her table. You have tea, she will have this, she works in an every city, and she will go for hours without getting food. The food is right there, and she's walking, you know. Allah said, you will be hungry, even when you have access to the food. Yeah, so, and no matter how wretched you are, one day you will eat to your fulfillment. Like I wanted to eat chicken and I got it eaten. You understand? And at another time, you will live with health. You'll be healthy. And at times, you'll be sick. So you can't have everything in life. Let there be something you communicate with them. Let them know that challenges is part of life. It will come. So, for the case I've said now that a child was, as father was fostering a child and she had to go and leave. Let them know that Al-Mudabir, Allah can change the situation of anybody at any time.
You can flip it. It's just a flip of a coin.
Exactly. Within a twinkle of an eye, you just say,
tables have turned.
Yes, tables turns anytime. No. So you can't have it all in the race of life.
Alhamdulillah, then we'll go on a quick break. When we come back from the break, we have messages already coming through. We're going to open the phone lines. I know it's a very germane topic, so you can be part of the show right after this break. Stay with us.
She wakes early in the morning with a smile, and she holds my head up high. Don't you ever let anybody put you down, 'cause you are my little angel. Can't you make something warm for me to drink? 'Cause it's cold out there, she thinks. Then she walks me to school. Yes, I ain't no fool. I just think my mommy is amazing. She makes me feel like I can do anything. And when she's with me, after school, she's waiting by the gate. I'm so happy that I just can't wait to get home to tell her how my day went. Eat the yummy food only my mom makes. Then I wind her up 'cause I don't wanna bath. And we run around the house with a laugh. No matter what I say, she gets her way. I think my mommy's amazing. She makes me feel like I can do anything. And when she's with me, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. In the evening, she tucks me into bed, and I wrap arms around her head. Then she tells me a tale of a girl far away who one day became a princess. I'm so happy you don't hurt me. So she lies in bed with me. As I close my eyes, how lucky am I to have a mom that's so amazing. She makes me feel like I can do anything. And when she's with me, when I wake up in the morning, she's not there. And I realize she never was. And I'm still here in this lonely orphanage with so many just like me. And as my dreams begin to fade, I try hard to look forward to my day. But there's a pain in my heart that's a craving. How I wish I had a mom. That's amazing. Would be amazing.
I don't know how you feel after hearing that song, but I'm here, Thierry, and every time I listen to that song, that's the effect it has on me. That voice is the voice of a girl narrating her dreamland experience with her mother that is no longer with her. Now, if you listen to the lyrics of that, so you can go back and listen to it. You know, it's My Mom is Amazing by Zain Bika. The words should impact you. So the next time you see an orphan child, you know exactly how that child feels. You know the void that needs to be filled. It's not all about the money. It's sometimes, like sis said, you know, it's the hugs, it's the reassurance, it's the empathy, it's the knowing that he or she is not alone in the world. And that's what you do when you foster this child. We do have messages coming in. If I take the message, let me open the phone lines. Number to call, 07000-917-917. Remember to call to be part of the show. You can send us SMS or WhatsApp to 070-317-56537. We have this message from Bola. I don't know if he's a sis or a bro. Good morning, ma. Thank you for discussing this topic. You have really done justice. Please, your assertion that adoption is un-Islamic needs more clarification. Adopting a child legally does not necessarily or compulsorily mean the child should bear your name. I think the most important is for you to let the adopted child know that he or she is adopted. If the child opts to bear your name, I don't think it will be fair to say no. Just let him or her know the truth. My opinion, please. Thank you so much, Bola, for your message. Your messages can come in, so let me have you respond to that, Hajja Sakina.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan, Bola. I don't know if it's Sa or Ma. Alhamdulillah. As Muslims, we should know that in some cases, our opinions does not count. Allah says they will be raised on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah with their father's name. So if Islam has ruled out that and pointed it out that we shouldn't allow them, then let's educate that child that you can't bear my name. These are the reasons. There are Quranic verses that has guided us on how to foster a child. And the reason why, even at times, there are some scholars that was deliberating on if a child pass and you want to rename that child. There are some scholars that say don't rename that child, because if it is Aisha's side, you have named the first child, the second child is also Aisha's side. Islam has even guided us, you don't bear the grandfather's name like we normally do. You bear your own father's name. You understand? Islam has even called us to attention. You don't decide to bear your husband's name, you bear your father's name. You do that because, you know, some parents feel that I've gotten only female children, then I'm worthless. This family name is gone. You know, people were disturbed, and the Prophet says, your name still remains. Instead of burying your female child alive, let them live and they still retain your name. So Islam has reasons. We don't always have a better opinion. When Allah says, these are my limits, these are the boundaries. At times, Islam will leave us and give us free will or give us alternative. But when Islam does not give us alternative, let's adhere to it, because there's a reason. We might not be open to the reason presently, but in the nearest future, if we don't observe those things, it will always come out clearly. May Allah is our fears.
Alhamdulillah. So, Bola, I do hope that clarifies. You can adopt, you can foster, you can do everything, go the whole nine yards, but let the name stay as it is. So we have another one here. What do you think about fostering a child and letting the community know he or she is different from your biological children? Don't you think it can affect the child psychologically, in emotion wise?
Saying this is because we always have some fears as human. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future and sees things clearly. He knows us, He created us, and He knows us more than ourselves. So even if you pretend today that things are going to be okay, it is just going to be for a while. Things will later escalate. People will talk. People talk. This is the problem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that there will be future problems. Okay, who told Firaun that came 400 years after Yusuf alayhi salam that Yusuf were not part of them? I know that during that time something is certain, that they would have married. Some people would have looked some like an Egyptian, some would have looked like an Israelite. At times there would have been a mistake, because you know something would have happened, but who traced that history? So you doing that does not help the psychology. It only helps that child for some time. It's just like when you use paracetamol. According to medical research, it says that it is just killing a cell in your brain. It is not because the pain is gone. Do you understand?
So that's why when you take fix.
Yes. When you take paracetamol, if you don't rest or do some things to adjust
to address the root cause of the pain.
It is just, that is why some people take paracetamol, Panadol for 3 times, 4 times a day, and they still don't get the result, because at the time it just killed some cells in your brain to help you forget.
Basically numb the cells.
Yes, it is not because the pain is gone. So when you say psychologically, there's a way you present things, there's a way you say things that make that thing an everlasting illness, you understand? An everlasting solution. If you patch things, they only get patched for a while. If Allah Azza wa Jalla said no, He has a reason for saying it.
So to answer that person's, is the mannerism in how you pass the message. It's the attitude that you give to the child and your children as well. It's the ability to
tell them that it is not even the name that matter. It is you having a loving family. Indeed. It is not the name.
Indeed.
You understand? But Allah will raise you on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah with your name and your father's name. Do you get? So,
you know the twist I want to put to this, and I know it might be weird and absurd and wild, but an ideal situation is a wife married to a family. That family becomes her foster parents because she's being fostered in that new family. She's been absorbed into that family. To be treated as one of theirs. So, I think it's the broadness of the discourse that would help is the understanding. I think if we start to see it from different perspectives, it will make it a lot easier. So if you think about it from that perspective of sometimes it is not necessarily financial. Some children, some orphans are wealthy.
Yes, they
but
are.
But their parents leave enough wealth. But what is missing is the care.
Exactly.
Is the warmth. Is the someone looking out for them, is the mentorship, and that's what you are going to be providing for such children. Like the example you give also, that neighbor's child you're going to be fostering because the parents, father and mother, are out as early as 6 a.m., they're not back until 11 p.m., so the whole life of that child is in the hands of maids and TV programs and all of that, and you see that void, you see that vacuum, and you step in to support and assist. So I think the conversation should go beyond here. More people need to jump on this and start to see that it's a communal thing.
Do you know how we were helped growing up? You understand that it is not only your mom and father that train
the entire street as you step out of your house.
If you insult one adult, you can see 15 ants land on your face at the same time.
Absolutely.
At times when you offend your mother, they will say, hey, Seki, you did this. This one will say, come here. Why do you have to do that to your mother? It helps us not to see our mother as, hey, the bad one.
Hmm.
Not seeing our father as the bad one. This one is saying the same thing. This one.
Everybody
in these days, you see people saying, don't mind your mother. And the next thing, a friend that is coming to a home that is being, a child is being forced, we say, don't mind them. It's because they are not the one that gave birth to you.
Hmm.
Normal thing that she would do to her own child.
Hmm.
You will now be the one to come and say, what is it? Hey, don't worry. And in front of the guy, why did you have to do this? And at back, they will call the child. I've seen a neighbor calling somebody, a child that was being fostered by a family, and say, don't mind them. Ah, that's how they used to do this. I had to come in and say, no, you don't do this. You are actually corrupting the future of this child.
Hmm.
Because something she doesn't see as anything, you allow her to see it as...
You put poison, you're poisoning the mind.
And
I asked
the girl, is it that this woman doesn't scold her own children? She says she does. It's not even that easy. I have fostered many children. I learn by the day.
Hmm.
I know that it is not something you just pick up.
Hmm.
Learn from it. You need assistance from learn right
now.
Yes, it is not something that you do alone. Don't say, hey, I want. No, you will get it wrong.
Hmm.
You will make mistakes. You understand? Even your children are looking at you. They are watching you.
Hmm.
Any steps you take, if you prefer that person to them, they know.
Wow.
You face problems. You face challenges. I did when I was fostering some children. Grown-up children that were far grown up, more older than my children. You understand? And I wake up the way I used to wash their clothes. I wash those children's clothes. I remember the father calling me and said, You understand? But I know that I just have to do everything possible. I was scared. I was praying. And alhamdulillah, at least they got married and I was happy. And, you know, I was relieved. It is not always easy. Sometimes the children you are fostering bring other attitude to your own family, something your children are not even used to. You all understand?
Right.
How do you now balance in between? How do you correct them? Because you are not, like I used to tell some people, I say, you are not the one that brought up that child. He or she will do something different.
True.
You understand? You should seek for, it is not even about one-way traffic. Parenting is not about one way.
Hmm.
Like the last topic which you said, it is not about, this is the way I have to do it. No. Seek for Allah's guidance. Tell Allah to give you the right approach, the right manner of approach. Like your own children, at times, you know your children's default. You don't even know how to address it.
True.
You will now be like, hey, you will have beaten, shouted, do this, do that. So at times I cry to Allah, Allah, how do I do this? What are the things I should say? What are the things I should do? What are the things I should, you know, I should put in place that way all this thing manifests.
Hmm. Deep discussion. I want to revisit something we talked about earlier, and that's because it's about inheritance. These foster children and adopted children, they don't get automatically inherit from their parents, their adopted parents, under the Islamic law. So how can families start to balance this inheritance and fairness in a way that ensures the child's security and well-being? And just before you answer, I know you've responded earlier, and that's because we talked about gifting them. be very careful because you said your children are watching. Yes. They are sensitive. They're thinking, oh, my father now prefers this child because the child is more active or more this or more that. It looks like the child is being preferred to us now. How can this choice property go to this child? You know, so, but let me, you're the expert here, please. how do we navigate this tough waters?
Alhamdulillah, it happens, you understand. But what we should do is, for Islam, it will not become a cheating on your children's part. Because if there are some properties that are left for the foster child, he or she is entitled to those property. So if you give property from this end too, it becomes too much and it becomes a cheating to your own child. Mm. That is why during the life of the Prophet, somebody went to give the Prophet, I think Abu Talha went to give to the Prophet. The Prophet Hassan says, are you sure your families are okay? You understand? He said, okay, use half of it. Can I use half of it as sadaqah? He said, no, you have to use like one quarter of it. You understand? It means you don't have to put your own family in problem just because you want to satisfy. You need to learn how to balance. So involve scholars. Let them sit together. Let there be a
seek
clear
wasiyah.
Seek advice. You can't know it all. Seek advice. What are the things I should do? Make sure you have adequate knowledge of the foster child, if he has property with a biological family, so that it doesn't become a cheating on your own children or family as well. And you don't say because your children are not doing right. Islam does not say you don't even have a choice. Mm. You have to will your property to them.
Mm.
Because you don't leave them in poverty while you are gone.
Mm.
So it is not a matter of it's matter is this, is that. If they are going to be something that you know that is going to be in danger, then let it be on the clear times. Invite scholars. Let them sit down. Let scholars educate them. You know, to clear these kind of grudges and
animosity and any of that.
So that at least people will be on the same page.
Right. We're almost out of time, but somebody has responded to... So basically, somebody sent a message earlier talking about the psychological effects on letting the child know that they are fostered. And so another commentator, Olubumi, says, Islam values lineage and frowns at mix-up of such. It wants us to maintain our kinship ties always. For that reason, adoption corrupts lineage. It disconnects from original roots and confers undue or unwarranted advantage, especially in inheritance claims. Sometimes it leads to scandals of unimaginable proportion in the future, especially if the truth is revealed from outsiders, which then causes unforgivable shocks and disappointments.
No.
So let us foster and not adopt to maintain the purity of lineage. Thank you so much for that response. It's apt, you know, succinct, straight to the point. And, you know, just to wrap it up, I think on a general note, if I go back to the series of questions that are coming through, I won't be able to, we won't do justice because time is almost up. But on a general note, how would you, what's your short direct advice to people on fostering, and what should we start to do differently? How can we accelerate the rate of fostering in Islam?
The first thing is accepting Allah's commandments. We should get adequate knowledge about fostering. We should be sincere. We should recheck our intentions at every point in time. Why am I doing this? Is it to seek the pleasure of Allah, or is it for show? Do you want people to call you a spender, or you are doing good? No. Let the intentions be clear so that Shaitan won't mislead you at any point in time.
Mm.
And make sure that you don't do it alone. Seek for help, because you can't do it alone. Let the community be aware, the local mosques, whatever, wherever you can get assistance. You don't have to open an NGO or an orphanage home before you seek for assistance. Seek for assistance where need be, so that you don't do it out of frustration, so that you won't be you won't be frustrated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our fears and make everything easy for us. And may Allah not make it an ujaf against us on the day where there will be no deeds except for the rewards of deeds. May Allah make it easy.
I mean, jazakumullah khairan to you for this. I appreciate my the team here behind the scenes, the engineers, my sister has been pushing the buttons. And she also got here when I played that song. I'm glad it had that impact on all of us. So, yes, anyways, my mom is amazing. You want to take a listen again and do your best. Find a family that needs support. Foster a child today. That's our message from here in the studio.
This is from your friend, a close friend.
Yeah, look inwards and foster. Yeah. Find a child to foster today. That's it from us in the studio. I leave you with Zane Bika in Able Hands on Zane Bika. And I will be back same time next week with another beautiful package of Everyday Muslim. My name is Amina Adams. Assalam.
What a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true. And always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide. An example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow. Such different people from different lands. We're all descendants of the first man. We can be one nation facing one God. With no hatred, no envy, no war. Created equal are you and I. Which of his favors can we ever deny? We may have everything or nothing at all. But our purpose lies with this call. To worship him, to praise him all day. Onto the straight path, let's not go astray. He is the greatest and most merciful. And everything acts upon his will. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now.
To sponsor this program.